and from the KTOO newsroom right here in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Over the 4th of July weekend, a wildfire burned through the site of a supply camp constructed to support the controversial Pebble Mine, a planned metal mine in the headwaters of Bristol Bay. The Alaska Beacon reports that mine construction is on hold pending the result of several legal fights and permitting processes, but geologists have been exploring the site's potential. No one was present at the site when the fire burned through the area. Joe Halsinger, a public information officer assigned to the fire complex in the area, said it isn't clear how much of the camp was damaged or destroyed. He said assessors are en route to the area, which is within a temporary flight restriction intended to aid firefighting aircraft. The wildfire season has been exceptionally bad in southwest Alaska this year, with more than 1.2 million acres burned, a record for the region. A low snow winter was followed by a hot and dry spring and a spree of thunderstorms, contributing to the historic fire season. Alaska's wildfire season remains on pace to be one of the worst on record. Elsewhere in the state, fires have prompted evacuation watches near the town of Anderson, on the Parks Highway, and in locations near Fairbanks. Clear Space Force Station, which houses one of the United States' main ballistic missile alert radars, is among the areas in the evacuation zone. Four bears have been killed at an Anchorage campground after entering tents to get food and other items. The campground was recently opened to members of the city's homeless population. Anchorage police reported the problem bears, a sow black bear with two cubs and a separate male black bear. Two state biologists killed them on Tuesday, according to the State Department of Fish and Game. In late June, the administration of Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson abruptly canceled pre-existing reservations at Centennial Campground and opened it to city residents who'd been living outside, including some who'd been staying at a camp that the city cleared out. The city also bused dozens of people to the campground last week when it closed the shelter at Sullivan Arena. Within days, there were reports of bears getting into tents at the campground, which is northeast of Anchorage's downtown core. Centennial Campground has had human-bear conflicts in the past, said Cindy Wardlaw with the Division of Wildlife Conservation. She said the Department of Fish and Game got little warning about the plan to allow homeless residents to camp there. They found out about the same time as the general public.
It was a surprise for us at the agency. We try to work closely with the municipality and with APD, especially if there's a situation that could create a public safety concern. And we're looking for ways to help them come up with solutions any way that we can to keep people safe.
The city purchased and distributed bear-resistant food containers to campers at the campground. Staff have also been looking for food that's left out and trying to educate campers about bear safety. There are more than 200 people estimated to have been staying at the Centennial Campground recently. In a written statement, a spokesperson for Mayor Bronson said, quote, "The Centennial Campground is being used as an option for people who choose to utilize it during fire danger periods. Centennial Campground will continue to be used as a legal camping option in the municipality for individuals who choose to camp." Southeast Alaska is home to at least six wild bat species, maybe more. The nocturnal rodents are often not seen, that is, unless they've made a home out of your warm, inviting attic. But if that happens, getting them out can be quite the challenge. KCAW's Catherine Rose has this story.
We'll have this little baby squealing Mayday by midnight.
All right, let's split up.
There's a famous scene in the 1988 summer sleeper, The Great Outdoors, when John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, armed with tennis rackets and fishing nets, try to catch a bat that's loose in their rustic lakeside cabin. It's complete chaos until the bat finds a spot to land. It's all fun and games on the silver screen, but for Carrie Fenton, the experience is more than familiar.
I woke up one morning in September 2020 with a bat on my face.
Fenton is a former Jesuit volunteer from Long Island, New York, and that's where she first learned about bats, through local bat revitalization programs. She went to college in New Orleans, the definitive vampire capital of the U.S., and then she lived in Montana for a year, where she became accustomed to all kinds of wildlife. Rattlesnakes, mountain lions, bears. She even found a colony of bats in her Big Sky Country home.
I had a very relaxed attitude about them coming to Sitka because I had lived for a year with bats and we could hear them kind of crawling around in the ceiling and crawling around in the walls. And we would see them all the time outside at night, you know, swooping around.
It was about 5 a.m. on the morning when Fenton discovered the first bat in her house in Sitka.
My first thought was I had like brushed this like furry thing off of my face and I was like, oh, there's a mouse in the house. And I rolled over and it was flying. I was like, oh my gosh, no, it's a bat.
So she called the nurse helpline at the local hospital and they told her she needed to come in right away.
So I had to go through the rabies shots, which was not fun. And I got to the hospital and the nurses there were like, are you sure it was a bat? I don't think we have bats in Sitka.
There are actually several types of bats in Southeast Alaska.
We have 6 resident species, and then we have a 7th that we've recorded acoustically, but we've never captured or had any further documentation of. So yeah, quite a few.
Karen Blavis is a wildlife biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, working in their Threatened, Endangered, and Diversity program. And for the last 10 years, her work has focused primarily on the bat populations in Southeast Alaska.
I loved studying bats because their behavior in Southeast Alaska is so different.
Each fall, bats swarm, mate, and then go into hibernation. They emerge in the spring from their hibernation sites and move to form maternity colonies, settling in warm environments where their pups will have the greatest chance to thrive. That's what Fenton was most likely experiencing in the spring of 2021, around half a year after she spotted the first bat.
And we started seeing them more on the porch, flying around at night. We started finding like poop in the house, on the porch all the time. And we realized like, oh, actually, there's a lot of bats living here.
But once there's a maternity colony nesting in your house, the real journey begins. It's illegal to kill bats. And Blavis says extermination is not an effective way to deal with them anyway. The bats present in a home on any given night are just a fraction of the total number of bats using the space. The females even switch roosts periodically during the summer, so there's constant turnover.
Really, the only way, if you don't want them in your house, is to physically exclude them. And that can be challenging depending on how the house was constructed because bats need only 3/8 of an inch of a gap to crawl in.
Last summer, Fenton tried to start that exclusion process with a pest removal company in Ketchikan, but at the time, they weren't traveling due to the pandemic. That left Fenton with one option: seal up the house herself once the bats left to hibernate and hope they didn't come back the following spring. But as the summer's warmth returned, the bats moved back in, and now she's couch surfing.
It's definitely frustrating. my landlord's been pretty supportive, though, and she's waived my rent, and I definitely really appreciate that.
She says the pest control crew and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game have been very helpful. In June, the pest removers came to Sitka and surveyed her house with plans to seal up more potential entry points. She says she's glad that protections exist to keep bats safe, but she wishes there were more resources to support renters and homeowners in her situation.
Bats are really incredible creatures, but I'm looking forward to the day when I don't live with them and they're not my roommates.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
There's a flood advisory for the areas around the Mendenhall Lake and the river. Water from Suicide Basin above Mendenhall Glacier is rushing under the glacier and filling up that lake. It's expected to crest tomorrow morning at around 9 feet, which is minor flood stage. But at that level, the water could reach Skater's Cabin in the Mendenhall campground. Looking at weather, we have broken our 18-day dry streak at the Juneau International Airport. It's currently 57 and raining. We're aiming for a high of 64 today with scattered showers. Cloudy with a chance of rain tomorrow and a high in the low 60s. Rain is likely this weekend with a high around 60 on both days. The sun sets at 10:02 tonight. It's back up at 4:06 tomorrow morning.